good morning.
Today's Bible reading will be taken from Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the village, there he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood apart. And he lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and said with a loud voice, Glorify God. And he fell on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, answering them, Well, were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? 18. They are not found that return to give glory to God. Save the stranger. 19. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. This ends by the way.
Amen. Go on.
It's a great honor to be standing before us this morning to discuss with us a sermon with the title Gratitude. Last Wednesday class in the course of prayer request, Luke was making a prayer request on behalf of some of our patients, and while she was talking, I could feel her emotions, you know, as a professional. But way beyond that, I just imagine that sometimes for such patients who find themselves in critical situations, they never ask for it. And what that means is that for us who are privileged to enjoy certain things, it's not because we deserve it, you know, but something very fundamental that we're going to be looking at is how well do we see ourselves in expressing gratitude. The text is just read. Christ healed how many lepers? 10. And how many returned to express gratitude? 1. So we want to take the score. That's just 1/10. Incidentally, sometimes you might look at it to say, well, I mean, those other 9 lepers are not grateful. But the truth about the whole thing is, most times when we study the scriptures, we tend to look at what I would say, to conceptualize it, to put yourself in the picture of the story of what you're reading. Because the Bible is not fiction. There are real things that have happened. So you ask yourself, if in that situation, would you be among the 9, or you be the one that actually made it? Now, when we look at it in the next slide, to start with, this is the world that we live in, right? And it's just to bring it to reality, where we find ourselves. I looked at it and the world we live in is a broken world. Being a broken world is not a perfect world. We have so much anxiety, so much negativity, so much thoughts running through our minds, anger, disappointment, dissatisfaction, inferiority, you know, guilt, avoidance, name it. It's just human nature, essentially. Sometimes some of us, like a phrase that once said that the love is never enough, we allow the things that we're chasing to control us, and we tend to lose sight of reality. It's always trying to get, trying to have, trying to get, trying to have. But we get what we want, put it aside, and we still up and come get it. And so with that, we lose sight of the reality around us. And so it's just a world that we live in that has, like, a friend will always tell me, most times when we talk, he keeps using one phrase that humans have been caged in a system and they allow the system to control them. And so they live, they breathe, and they do all things living within that system that has formed who they are. But until man realizes who he is, he breaks off of that system. But it takes a lot for people to come out of the system. But one thing that we want to see is one thing that can help us to overcome all of these imperfections in man. And so in the next slide, we'll now look at it to understand what really is gratitude. What really is gratitude? The definition they said that it comes from the word, the Latin word gratus, which means to be thankful, you know, to be pleased, to be contented. The whole of this comes from the Latin word gratus, and it is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and then to return kindness. That is all what gratitude is all about. But the thing is this. How do we link gratitude to the state of being? How do we link gratitude to the state of awakeness that we will actually understand our purpose, who we are, and what we really are? When we look at this even secularly, we come to understand that there is always benefit for expressing gratitude. And the point to say this, that gratitude goes even beyond the Christian laws. It is more of a universal law. You know, there is this, what we call the universal law. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, but with the fact that you're applying those principles, you get a result. A very typical example is when we say, when you sow, you reap. You give, you are blessed. They are natural laws. So it doesn't matter. One who is an atheist, he applies those principles. They work. From my own personal research, I've come to really understand that is the joy of being a Christian. Because just like what the book of 2 Peter made us understand, that all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given unto us. And so what this means essentially is that for us who are Christians, we not only have privilege to see these laws that will give us the physical blessings, but just like the teaching from Dr. this morning, we also have the gift of eternal life that will also help us to inherit eternity at the end of all of this. So in the next slide, we look at the physical benefit of gratitude. I mean, if you find yourself maybe in a seminar outside the church setting, talking about physical well-being, these are the kind of things they're going to be telling you about gratitude. You know, and from the source that I got this, they listed about four, I mean, there are several others, of the physical benefits of gratitude. It helps one to reach more goals, it improves the physical health, better sleep and more energy, increased like ability, supports others, stronger love life and all that. Now, these are just what they will give in the physical setting. But way beyond this, as Christians, we need to really understand from the scriptural perspective the benefits of gratitude. And so, when we go to the next slide, we'll look at the importance of gratitude. As Christians, like I said earlier, going back again to when Stanley was making the request last Wednesday, you know, it is so essential that the things that are very basic in life, which are the integrals of living, we are taking so much for granted. I want to ask a simple question. When last have you been conscious of your breathing? But hold your breath for 2 minutes. Right? And you see what happened. Now that is essential, the integral of living. I mean, God forbid. They say, oh, something has happened to an individual and they have to rush into an intensive care unit and they have to run oxygen and all that. Well, lucky enough for this environment we find ourselves where healthcare is. But from where we come from, back in Africa, most of us, we know the healthcare system. You know how much you have to pay for 1 hour for oxygen. How much more for a whole day. But this is what you get over the years of your existence. But you know, sometimes we just allow the things that we're going after to cloud our judgment, that we lose these basic things. Look at your health. I mean, you eat in the morning, you go about your daily business, you drink water, you pass out waste from your system, you go to sleep, you wake up and all that. Some years ago, I was having a meeting where I was working, something came up. So there was this meeting that we're having, and there was this young lady who was part of the meeting. So while we're talking, someone just mentioned that you see this lady sitting here, she's costing us money every year. I could not actually understand what I was trying to say. And he said, every year, her heart could not beat on its own. So they have to spend money to send her to India, where they have battery. So her heart is actually functioning on battery. And like every year, they have to go renew the battery. And I stood in the meeting. After the meeting, I was reasoning. And I was like, so what happens if no money to change the battery? That is the end of the heartbeat. But this is what we have going on for us. Day in, day out, and we take for granted. And so, the most important thing that comes to mind is the bills we just got to pay. It's the promotion that we're chasing. It's the qualifications that is in our minds and other things. And so, when we really come to look at this, we'll come to really understand that in our lives, there are every indicators that point to the fact that we need to always express gratitude. Now, the importance of gratitude, number one, because it is a command. Gratitude took us this morning, I talked about commandment. I really want to appeal to us. I challenge myself, even myself speak here most times, when the Bible says that something is a commandment from God. You know, when Brother Tom was teaching this morning, I was just asking myself a lot of questions while I was sitting. And Jamie said, gospel, gospel. I mean, when last have I introduced someone to Christ? When last have I made efforts? But it is a commandment. It's just as simple as a commandment that Saul went to Samuel. Sorry, Samuel went to Saul and he told him, go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy these people. It was a commandment, right? And the commandment was carried out, right? I mean, he actually killed everyone, but he just barely, just one king. It was inconsequential. But when we see God's reaction eventually, of course, because we read it. I mean, what about several other stories that were not indicated? God said, I have rejected Saul because he had rejected me. But unfortunately, when someone went to meet Saul the next day, after pleading and pleading and pleading the whole night, and God refused. In the mind of Saul, he has done what God asked him to do, and was only doing it himself. Now that goes a long way to show how God's commandment is. So right here, God is commanding us to do what? Express gratitude. Why? Because God, he needs our gratitude. Look at Christ, he healed 10 lepers, only one came back. And he told him, he said, look, no, where are the other 9? Are you 10? Where are the other 9? That means he deserves gratitude. So, when we read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, please, I would like readers to open up because we just need to quickly run through. Luke, Ranoki, please. First Corinthians 5 verse 19. What does that passage say? Very popular passage. I'm reading.
In everything give thanks.
In everything.
But this is the will of God in Christ.
Now, when we say this is the will of God for you, the will of God is what God wants from you. What God wants from us to do. So in everything that we should give thanks. Also, we read Ephesians 5, verse 20. What that passage read?
5:20.
Yes.
Giving thanks always for all.
Giving thanks always for what? Some things, right?
Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Giving thanks always for some things, right? Mm-hmm. He says, for all things. For all things that we should give thanks always unto God. And so, we now come to see that gratitude is an expectation from us by God. That stands as a commandment. Again, gratitude shifts our perspective. Gratitude shifts our perspective. The scriptures made us to understand that godliness with contentment is what is great gain. I was reading a book by an author, not a Christian preacher, and he said something while he was writing in one of his writings. He said, one thing that helps him not to get too burnt out when he's going after a task is that he takes time off to appreciate what he has already. So appreciating what you have already will dissolve the curiosity, the anxiety, the fear around you. So it shifts your perspective from lack to what? To abundance. You know, it's psychological. The more you think of lack, the more the lack comes around you. The more you're always wanting and wanting and wanting, you keep wanting and wanting and wanting. The more you don't see the good around you, the more the good will not be around you. But take a moment to appreciate the things that you have, just like a popular hymn that we have that says, count your blessings, and it surprises you what the Lord has done. And so essentially, gratitude shifts our perspective from the cycle of lack to abundance. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul wrote in his epistle to the Ephesian church, he said that God has done what? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, when you come to understand this, that as Christians that you are, that we are, that all spiritual blessings have been given unto us through Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. So you ask yourself, so what else? So, it means that the only reason why we are in lack is because all we think about is the lack. When God created all things, he created man last. Why? So that man would have no lack. And at the end, he created man. He said, take possession over all that I've created. And so it means that it is the will of God that man should not lack. But understanding it, you might not ask yourself, so why am I lacking? You are lacking because you're thinking of the lack. Gratitude activates faith in us. It is the nature of man to live in fear, anxiety, uncertainty. You know, there's always this thing that's going to happen. But when you live in gratitude, it activates faith within you. Because you know that you are with God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. What does that passage have to tell us?
It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication.
Be not careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But
in everything,
with thanksgiving, if you request your heart to God and you want to do that, you have no reason to fear. Similar thing again with Revelation 4, verse 2, you can read that much later on your own. Now, very importantly, gratitude strengthens our relationship with God. With God. You know, in expressing gratitude, it will amaze you how it builds the bond with the Creator, with God. I keep saying, not one of, but my favorite character in the scripture in the Old Testament is the man David. I've always loved to read about him. Like, I read the entire 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, like, I'm just studying his biography. You know, I'll be talking a few points why he personally is my favorite character in the scriptures. I mean, this was somebody who never lost a battle in his life. This was someone who, from when he was a lad, was being chased by his employer, but yet he had mercy and he had a peaceful heart towards him. Now, when he had the opportunity, you know, I put myself in his shoes sometimes, if I were in the shoes of David, when he had the opportunity. Even when, it is God who has given him to you. Kill him! Well, you know what that touched me each time I read that passage? Even when he was cutting a piece of the king's garment, the scripture said he felt guilt. He felt guilt. Outwardly, he was a lion, but inwardly, he was like a lamb. Now, this was someone who was a king. Sometimes I ask myself, realistically, what time did David have, first of all, as a shepherd? What time would David have as a fugitive running from a king who has charged men to kill him? What time does he have as a king ruling a powerful nation of Israel, but yet he still had time to do what? To document his signs. If it's Francis, I would say, look, I'm just so busy. You know how it is. But he had time to document his signs, to have time for God, constantly praising God, even in the midst of his challenge. Someone will say, but God, you actually came to anoint me as king. How come I'm still being chased? And imagine when you're being chased even into your enemy's camp. Can you imagine how terrible that was? Imagine being chased and you have to pretend to be crazy, to be mad. What else again would somebody face being chased into an enemy's camp? But you know something very fundamental about David? He built the relationship with God. And so you can understand why God will say that David is a man after my heart. And so David became an index that other kings were judged. So king was good, but not like his father David. This king was good, but not like his father David. And because of David, God made a covenant with David. And that was what sustained other kings, that even when they made mistakes, God still, because of the covenant he made with David, what made that relationship with David? David was always living in gratitude. And so it makes us to understand that gratitude strengthens our relationship with God. Colossians 2:7 and Colossians 3:12, we'll see that when we read. Again, it ushers in God's presence. It's so amazing when you can imagine how gratitude will usher in God's presence. In Psalm 100, verse 1, 500, we say, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his court with what? With praise. And so you can understand why that Solomon, after he expressed gratitude by offering a 1,000 burnt offering, gold was touched. And what happened? God visited Solomon and said, look, anything you want, do what? Ask. So, in your personal life, when you're thinking to invite God, in the church, when we're thinking to invite God, what do we do? It's to enter with gratitude in our hearts. And then it creates room for abundance. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. This is a known fact that goes even beyond the Christian world. Gratitude creates abundance. And so that was how I used the word earlier when we talked about the shift of perspective. That the more you think of lack, the more the lack comes around. But when you express gratitude, start with the little ones that you have and express gratitude. And you see how it creates abundance. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, you see that. And then the next slide, we'll now really come to see how to practice gratitude. Because I don't know, should I say it's a skill? But I'm not going to say it's a skill, because skill is only something that somebody, you know, when Brother Tom was talking about passion. But looking at it, whether it is a skill, if it's going to be a skill, research have shown that something that you do consistently for 21 days will end up becoming what? A habit. Research have shown that what you do every day consistently for 21 days will become a habit. And so, God is telling me this morning that I need to start practicing the act of gratitude. Practicing gratitude to God involves cultivating an attitude of thankfulness and expressing it through various actions in our prayers, in praise, and in service. Now this is done by acknowledging God's blessings, both big and small, and by actively thanking Him for them. So the first point here is that start each of your day with gratitude. Start each day with gratitude. You know, the environment you live in, the world has evolved, everything around us has gone to a point where we walk the whole day, early morning, late night, you wake up sometimes in the morning, you just jump off, and then it's off with these activities. But starting each day with gratitude, because it is the grace of God that is sustaining us. That grace, we do not merit it. Isn't that enough for us to express gratitude? Remember God's faithfulness as well. Remembering God's faithfulness, like I talked about, overlooking the simplest thing as breathing, walking around. They are God's faithfulness in our life. Learn to count your blessings. Learn to count your blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The reason why this is very important is because the human nature essentially is just always looking forward to things ahead. I mean, we keep talking about the children of Israel. They were in slavery, in bondage for how many years? And then when they left, going into the promised land, he was murmuring. They murmured, God sent manna to them, they had manna, they ate manna, they murmured again, oh Moses, what, are we going to be eating only this manna? God sent them it. Oh Moses, we have this, God sent that, and it was one to the other, one to the other, and one to the other. And of course, we know what that cost them. That out of how many of them? 630,000 only men. Women and children were not counted. Only two out of all of them saw the promised land. Only two. Why? Because of ingratitude. See good in challenges. As long as we are in this vessel, there will always be challenges. challenges can come from any angle, wherever, however. For the Bible allows us to understand that in all things that we should give thanks unto God. So when you are facing challenges, is that the time for you to question God? A friend once said something. He said, when someone will say, God, why me? And then he will ask, why not you? If not you, then who? You know, if not you, then who? To comfort us, the scriptures has made us understand that God will not give us challenges that are beyond what we can bear. But at the end of it and through it all, we get stronger. And so that's the more reason why we see good in challenges when we are being encountered with challenges. And then again, one thing that will help us to practice gratitude is to obey God's word. Because gratitude is a commandment. You know, practicing it helps us to. And then also expressing gratitude to those around us. Remember what Christ said, as much as you do it to the ones around you, you're also doing it to Him. So when someone offers you something as small as water, oh, thank you very much. Thank you, I appreciate this. And so when it starts from within those around you, those that you see, even a little kid, you know, it builds that consciousness and builds that trait of expressing gratitude to the bigger power that is way above us. So these and many more are just things that can help us start to express gratitude. Because again, like I said, it's a natural law. Beside the fact that it is a commandment from God. So we look at it as a natural law, and we see it as God's commandment. Coming from this perspective as Christians gives us the ultimate blessings that we can ever have. And then, going to the next slide. In conclusion, Colossians 3:17. In conclusion, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when we say do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it means in accordance to the commandments. Doing what? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What this means is that in anything at all that you're doing, in anything that you say, let the teachings of Christ guide us. But ultimately, we should always give thanks. And when we do this, God's name will be glorified. I pray the Lord to bless us in our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.